Well, greetings, and welcome to the show. This is Wrong Place, Right Crime, and I'm your host, Frank Zaffiro, and we are in the middle of a 12-episode retrospective celebrating a grifter song. This is a series of novellas, an anthology that I created and edited for Down and Out Books, containing 30 different authors, 35 episodes, same two characters all the way through, but a different con, a different location, a different style of writing, a different author, obviously, every time out. And it is all coming to an end on October 1st, 2023, with episode 35, Into the Dying Sun. So we are taking a walk through the series, three books per episode, and talking to the authors, maybe getting a little inside scoop, and celebrating what has become a wonderful series full of some tremendous writers. This time out, we are going to cover book 6, 7, and 8. Book 6 is Losing Streak by Jim Wilski. I wrote book 7, Come the Apocalypse, and book 8, Gone Dead on You, was written by Eric Pruitt. Let's start with a Jim Wilski and a Losing Streak, book 6. Now, there's an interesting story here that I'm going to be careful about how I tell. Jim was originally going to be in the second season, so he would have been book 7 or later. And part of the reason was I already had two people, that being Lawrence Kelter and Colin Conway, with whom I had collaborated on books with as part of this series. And it was starting to look like a, hey, all my friends come play sort of thing, which is fine. But I didn't want to overdo that. That's why I asked Jim to wait until the second season, and he was fine with that. And then there was an author who was involved that it just did not click. You know, it's a story I really don't want to tell because it would sound like I'm bad-mouthing someone, and that's just not the purpose of this or a good thing to do in general. I think I'll leave it at saying that the author pretty much refused to be edited in a way that made the story fit within the series. And that's kind of been something I had to jealously guard, was certain aspects of the story and the characters. And, you know, the authors have all been really good about, listening to that, pushing back where they felt like they needed to, and making it a discussion that eventually, you know, resolved itself in some great stories. But it wasn't working. And so this individual was dropped from the series, and that left us with a hole. And it was kind of late in the process. We were arguing about the second draft. And so I turned to Jim because I knew he was a fast writer, and I knew I'd hoped that he had an idea because he was going to be in the second season. I'll let him address whether he did or not. But turned to him, and he was like, yeah, you bet. And he wrote a story that is probably the first time that we see Sam and Rachel kind of on the skids a little bit, not entirely, but pretty beaten down. And then they come up with a scam involving weapons, and the gun shows and dealers and so forth in Arkansas. And, I won't say any more. I'll let the story do the talking. Jim's writing style is very brisk. It's very evocative when it comes to the sense of place. And he can capture a lot, in very few words. Also, as his dialogue is just about as genuine as it gets, as you'll read in Losing Streak. But there's the general setup of it and the backstory a little bit. Let's hear what Jim himself has to say about Losing Streak. Well, hey, Jim, I've been asking people, you know, what it was that made them accept an invitation to be part of a grifter song. But in your case, it was a little different situation than in a number of other authors, if you recall.
I'll just call it a temporary lack of good judgment on my part. No, seriously, though, it was all really simple. It was because of you. And, you know me well enough to know that I'm not just buttering your biscuit here. I mean, writing about Griff's is fun, and it's just loaded with opportunities and ideas and so forth. But it's always been a great topic. But no, it was you, Frank. You can call me tomorrow and say, look, I got this great idea. It's about the perils and dangers and how deadly parallel parking is. And I'd jump on it. I'd be all in, no questions.
What I was alluding to, though, is if you remember originally, you know, you and I had worked together on the Anya series.
Right.
And so we had kind of decided to bring you into the series a little bit later. And then we had an author who did not work and play well with others scheduled for the first season. And so I turned to you. I would call it kind of with a last minute request. Like, you had to bang out your story pretty fast, as I recall. Do you remember it that way? Is that ringing a bell now?
Yeah, actually, now that you mention it, I do remember that. But I had kind of forgotten about it, actually. But it didn't matter.
Well, we had talked about you doing an episode in the second season already, so I have to think you were at least kicking around some general ideas, so maybe that helped jumpstart it when you had to kick it into another gear to get it done on short notice.
Honestly, no.
That's what I get for assuming.
it was get down to it and go. And sometimes I think that's better, to be honest with you. You know, if you got all the time in the world to spend on something, you're going to spend all the time in the world. So it kind of it lit a fire. And I mean, it's up to the readers to determine if it was a good product or not. But it came right out and kind of flowed. And I understood the characters pretty well. You know, that kind of writing has its own set of challenges. And I like challenges. And you know, a little discipline and a little structure never hurt anybody, especially a writer like me. I have the tendency to just stray. So I looked at it, the entire Grifter, and I followed it closely the whole way and still have. I look at it as like a team sport, and you're all on the same team, and you're all playing a position. And you're all doing your thing, but you're all in the same, you know, you're all playing by the same rules, same guidelines, and it's up to you to create something unique. And it was a great idea from the get-go. And you've had some great authors. So I was lucky to just tag along.
Well, you held your own for sure. I mean, was there anything about the characters of Sam and Rachel that really struck you or interested you or that you admired or were intrigued by?
I think for me anyway, it was the alliance and the reliance they had or they shared and the absolute unshakable trust they had in each other, because let's face it, they're not in a really trustworthy trade there. So that was always there for them. And it was consistent, and it provided, like, you know, a solid base for everything else and everyone else around them, which was far from solid. So I think that, you know, in a nutshell, that's probably it.
I didn't think of this until just now, based on what you said, but in the series that we wrote together, the Anya series, I mean, that through thread character of Anya is very much a grifter, but that
absolutely
element, yeah, she's total, right? That's her whole life. But that trust factor that you talk about that Sam and Rachel had for each other, that's non-existent in the Anya series. I mean, she tries to create it artificially, of course, but
right.
I guess that's not true. It just doesn't exist in any grifters. I mean, I think of in Harbinger, the prequel episode, you know, Hicks and Boyd definitely have that kind of trust for each other. So I guess we did explore it, but not amongst grifters is kind of my point. So
right.
Yeah. Was there a favorite moment in Losing Streak that you just had a lot of fun writing or that you, you know, just enjoyed?
Can I cheat and say two?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. The first one is, and it just kind of came about. I didn't really have it planned, but I thought a little friction might be good. And it goes back to how they rely on each other and they trust each other. And I thought, you know, yeah, that's great and lovey-dovey, but how about a little argument? So they have an argument in this story, and it's pretty well, I mean, it's not just a little short thing. She kind of reads him the riot act and says, look, don't get all holy on me and righteous. Mm-hmm. And
check yourself is kind of what she says.
Right? Yeah. Yeah. And also check, you know, what you're feeling is so justified and holy. And probably the second part was towards the end, Wilson, who's the guy there grifting, and he throws a little curveball in at the end and says, you know, there's a condition for the deal to go through. And it forces Rachel to really think on her feet. And it's a pretty dicey little situation. I liked writing that. It made me think, too.
So that's your favorite part of your own book. Have you read any of the other episodes? And do you have any favorites if you have?
Well, that's a tough one. So many great stories. I mean, I don't know. I guess maybe one that would stand out would be The Rule of Thirds, just for the title alone. What a great title.
Yeah.
By Matt Phillips. No holds barred and very few rules, if any, and the ones that are broken. So, no, I that was a good one. And I've always liked his stuff. He didn't know me from Adam, but he's got a fan here. So,
yeah, I was super pumped that he wanted to come along and do it. And I thought he had a great episode. I'm looking forward to talking to him about it again.
Tell him he's got a fan that he doesn't know about.
I'll pass that along. So here we are at the All end right. of days here. Episode 35, Into the Dying Sun, will be out on October 1st. Two-part question for you, an either-or question. If the final episode was yours to write, how would you end it for Sam and Rachel? And how do you think it actually does end?
Well, there's two ways to go here. I'll go back to my cheating again. I'll go with two ways. One of them dies. The other one carries on. And there's another route that I might, could, maybe would take, would be to end it on a good note. And let's say they get, I can't remember, are they actually married?
You don't know. We don't know.
I didn't think so. Yeah, I thought that was up in the air. So maybe they get married. Maybe they have a kid. One thing for sure, though, however it would end with a question mark. And that question mark would be just one more time. Just one more mother of all grifts. Just one more. Maybe just have it be a thought, you know, and then go on to move on to the end of the story. But I'd throw that in there for sure, either way.
That's an interesting observation, given that they have frequently expressed, and not just in the stories that I wrote, but other episodes by other authors, how, you know, the game is life for them. This is the lifeblood of their existence. So I think that's a very accurate idea. Whether it happens or not, I'm not saying. I'm not telling anybody anything.
Oh, come on.
Get the episode and find out. But those are some interesting thoughts. And you're either going to look like a genius or very foolish in just a few days when it comes out.
Well, I have no doubt on that, that it'll be foolish. No doubt.
Well, I mentioned that we wrote four books together, the Anya series, which, depending on whose opinion you go with, either begins in Blood on Blood or with the prequel, Harbinger.
Right.
Something we don't agree on. It's a friendly disagreement. But you have also written a ton of short stories, and those were all collected in a book, correct?
Yeah. Sort them out later. I did have a story recently that appeared on Yellow Mama.
So if folks want to learn more about you, they can pick up Sort 'Em Out Later. Where else can they check out more about Jim Wolski?
Well, these days, it'd have to be, you know, the Amazon author page.
Well, folks, check out Jim J. Wolski on Amazon. And, you know, not to push my own stuff here, but he's 50% responsible for that Anya series. And I would challenge you to figure out who wrote which character when you read those books, because my experience has been people are right about 50% of the time. So no better than chance is how
it's going. Right.
Jim, thanks for writing a great episode of Gretcher's Song and for being part of this retrospective.
Well, thanks for inviting me, and I really appreciate it, Frank.
All right, folks, there it is, straight from the horse's mouth. Jim Wolski talking about book number 6, Losing Streak. The short story collection that he mentioned is chock full of excellent short stories, well worth picking up. All right, well, let's move on to book 7, Come the Apocalypse. This was written by me, and originally this was one of the bonus episodes. So we had the subscriber model that we used to sell this, and subscribers, in addition to a price break, also got a bonus episode that nobody else got. Not enough people subscribed. Most of the sales were happening as individual purchases of individual episodes. And so eventually Down and Out Books moved to a model of utilizing the Kindle Unlimited and selling the books on Amazon. And so rather than just let these bonus episodes go away, and since they were quite intertwined with some of the stories, we had to do a little bit of reordering and plug them in when the switch happened. And so that is why, like, the next one, Gone Dead on You, book 8, was originally book 7. It was the first episode of season 2. Now, Come the Apocalypse is a book 7, the last episode of season 1, if you will. And this is a little different in that it is from the perspective of Rocco Talenti, who is an enforcer or a hitman, essentially, for the Philly mob, for Little Vincent, this capo who Sam and Rachel ripped off, not for nearly as much as they tried to, but and whose heart was shredded by Rachel as well. So his thirst for vengeance is pretty extreme. He sets Rocco after finding these two. And so, you know, Rocco is the storyteller here. It's the first book of the series that doesn't feature Sam or Rachel as a point of view character. The device I used for this was really to show Rocco's perception, almost a Rashomon sort of thing, to show Rocco's perception of all the events that happened in books 1 through 6. He's in the first book, not as a POV, but his character does make an appearance, and then he's behind the scenes in the other for the remainder of that time period. And so that's the thrust of that, is we get to see things from another perspective. We get to see the pursuit, whereas usually we are with Sam and Rachel. That's all I'm going to say about this episode. It's a little bit different. And of course, that's what we like to do with the Grifter Song. We like every episode to be just different enough to be fresh and just the same enough to have some comfort to it. And like I said, this one's strictly from Rocco's POV. So let's move from book 7, Come the Apocalypse, to book 8, Gone Dead on You, by Eric Pruitt. Now, I ran into Eric for the first time in Dallas, I believe, at a BoucherCon mystery conference. So this would have been 2019, and hit him up about being part of this. Eric is a tremendous writer, and he does a number of other things too. He's a podcasting, filmmaking, short stories, novels, and then he's a bar owner now too. Tremendous guy, great sense of humor, great command of language, and does an excellent job of capturing the region in which he's writing. In Gone Dead on You, he actually uses the setting of his own work and put Sam and Rachel in there. And this is the first time we get a scam that involves a little bit of potential paranormal woo-woo sort of activity. And so Rachel poses as a medium, and there's some dirty cops involved, and I really don't want to spoil any more of it. I will just say that, as I mentioned earlier, Eric really captures that sense of place really, really well. And it might have been my favorite part of the entire story. The story itself is a banger, but just that I felt like I was there. I felt like I was there with Sam and Rachel. And it's interesting because they're outsiders trying to acclimate. And of course, he's very aware of the area. He lives there. He writes about it a lot. So did a tremendous job capturing it. Let's hear what his thoughts are on Gone Dead on You, episode 8 of A Grifter Song.
So, Eric, here we are at the BoucherCon in the bar talking a little Grifter Song.
Dude, damn straight. We are, like, literally, we're leaned over the bar right now. Like, we are on to, there are like 10 people behind us.
You can probably hear them if you're on the pod.
Oh, yeah.
But so when I asked you to join the Grifter Song series, I believe it was in Dallas at a BoucherCon when we talked about it first. Eventually you said yes. What made you say yes?
It was the third bourbon that you bought me. You were like, dude, just do it. Do it.
If it and was like, the third, why did I buy you five?
Dude, I would have written a whole damn series if you'd have bought five. No, it was a no-brainer, man. You had done such a great job of that first season that, like, as soon as I saw, like, all the stuff you were putting out and all of the people that were helping put it together, I was just like, oh, my God, how do I get involved in that? How can I party with these dudes? So it was a no-brainer. So I was just thrilled beyond all words when you asked me to join.
Well, then you came up with a story that was had a little, potentially anyway, a little woo-woo in it. Definitely some of the region there in the South. What inspired that, or was it something that you came up with just for Grifter's Song, or was it maybe something that was brewing already?
I mean, yeah, everything was pretty much just for the Grifter Song series. But, like, when you told me the words, when you were like, dude, you could set it wherever you want, anywhere you want. And I was like, well, a lot of the things I write take place in my own fictional town of Lake Castor. Is that possible? You're like, absolutely. And then I just started to think, like, how could I take those characters that you created and everybody continued and put them into the world that I made? And part of that, like, mystical realism that happens in like Southern Gothic fiction, I wanted to see what would happen if I could put Sam and Rachel in that world, and so it was a thrill.
This was might have been one of the few times you've had to write with a little bit of a rule book or some foul lines in place, since it wasn't your own creation entirely. How was that experience? Did you find that difficult? Was it fun? Was it easy?
Oh, no. The number one thing when anybody gives you a rule, especially in writing, is how the hell can I break it? And so that was immediately it. You were like, all I need you to do is X, Y, or Z. And I was like, all right, how can I do it? Like, so that was fun. There's like three people yelling at me. So like, somebody's lost their phone.
All right. Disaster averted. So was there anything about Sam and Rachel that stood out to you that you really liked or that you found interesting?
Oh, absolutely, man. They were kind of like Parker, but a couple, you know, how they kept ending up in these situations that they're like, you know, they're smart. They're going to get out of it. So they're like the smartest people in the room, and you just got to make other people around them as smart to keep it interesting. So, yeah, that's how I describe it. They're Parker, but a couple.
Was there a favorite moment in your story that you, when you wrote it or when you finished writing it, you were like, oh man, I'm pretty proud of this. This is pretty cool.
The answer is yes, and it's an absolute spoiler. So after you've read it, whoever's listening, after you've read it, if you want to ask me what it is, I will happily tell you, but it's a spoiler.
Have you read any of the other episodes of A Grifter's Song? And if you have, any of them jump out to you as personal favorites?
Oh, absolutely. James Hanna's, Sean Cosby's, of course, yours, Frank. Like, you know, you kicked it off pretty tight. And you're doing, like, that whole, like, you know, David Simon, Pelicanos thing where, like, when you're writing it, you know, things are about to change. And I'm really excited to dig into the Curtis Ippolito. Did I say it right? Ippolito?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, all right.
That's how I say it. You've written a bunch of stories. You're a filmmaker. You've written several novels. You spent time with Sam and Rachel. If it was your story to end, how would you end it?
Everybody dies. Everybody, it's, yeah, curtains, everybody dies. Sorry, Sam, sorry, Rachel, you're gone.
All right, well, as I mentioned, you've written a lot of other stuff. What's your most recent work, and where can people find out more about you?
My most recent book came out in May. It's Something Bad Wrong. My website is Eric Pruitt. That's ERYKPRUITT.com. I've got all the information on Something Bad Wrong, my other books, and my upcoming book, Blood Red Summer. And if you really want to know what I'm up to, come out to Yonder Bar in Hillsboro. That's where I'm tending bar and telling stories. And we'd love to see you there.
Well, that's on my bucket list to hit that bar.
Kick that bucket there.
Unfortunately, right? I'm on the wrong side of the country to do it. Hey, I really enjoyed your episode of A Grifter Song. I want to say thanks for writing it, and thanks for doing this interview for the retrospective.
Dude, thank you so much for having me at the party, and thank you for having me on for this. And let's do some drags.
All right, there you go, folks. You know, I think that's the first episode. You know, I think that is the first interview of the 10 or so that I did at the BoucherCon Mystery Conference in early September of 2023. Certainly, there's a different quality to those, but it's kind of cool here in the background of the bar or the BoucherCon floor. As you no doubt could tell, you know, Eric is a powerful personality, and I mean that in a good way. Just a great guy to be around, great energy, a lot of creativity, and he wrote a great episode. He talked about his other work. The one thing he didn't mention is a true crime podcast called The Long Dance. Now, I am not a true crime guy. Having been a police officer, it just always seemed like a busman's holiday to me. It doesn't make any sense that fiction doesn't feel that way, but hey, that's the way it is. Can't explain it. But I listened to The Long Dance, which is about an 8-episode podcast limited series that talks about a case from the 70s that remains unsolved. I guess technically sounds like they've solved it. And it was just fascinating and extremely well put together by Eric. And so as someone who does not listen to podcasts about true crime or watch true crime shows, I can heartily recommend The Long Dance. All right. Well, next outing, we will be looking at books 9, 10, and 11. Upgrade by Awesome Maria Bradley. The Money Block by Holly West. And The Sound of Breaking Bones by Eric Buettner. And that's next episode on Wrong Place, Right Crime, which, if you are listening to this contemporaneous to it being released, will be tomorrow. Until then, this is Frank Zaffiro reminding you that sometimes you gotta be in the wrong place to write crime.